Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to this very special IGN UK podcast that celebrates everything that has happened in the last 12 months. Yes, it is the very best of 2014. And for this, I am joined by Luke Caramani.
Hello.
And by Christopher Tiddleton.
Why do you sound so sad?
No, this should be upbeat.
It's sultry, it's not sad.
I was seducing.
Have you heard me trying to chat up ladies? Really depressing.
I'm going to say hello pod people.
Go on then, yeah, say that.
And duck hunt.
Go on then.
Done it. So it's happened.
Do you think that 2014 really was the year where Duck Hunt became... Well, you bought it back, right?
It was the year of the Duck Hunters. I did bring Duck Hunt back.
And you bought back Banter?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, though.
Of course.
And I found a trailer for Banter the Movie online this week, by the way.
What's that?
Like a spoof of Richard Keys and Andy Gray, what they
did.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, it's quite funny.
Right, okay.
Yeah, no, it was nice. I guess, yeah, the highlight of the year maybe is saying thank you to all the Duck Hunters for setting up the Facebook group and being so supportive and lovely. And yeah.
They have been legendary. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So over the course of the next, I don't know, hour or so, we're going to look at the biggest news of the last 12 months.
Hour? 20 minutes, mate.
The biggest disappointment, so you'll be in your element there.
Let's get cracking on that one.
And of course, our personal favourite games and movies. But yeah, let's take a look at the news and... I guess, you know, some of the biggest news has probably come from the entertainment side of things, really.
Yeah. It's been a big year.
Yeah, and like Marvel.
Marvel and DC. Marvel and DC stepped up their game. Yeah, went toe-to-toe. It was quite weird and unusual and strange the way it all happened because the DC news escaped via a call to investors.
Yeah, like an investor call, yeah.
Which... I don't know. It's just
that
a bit...
call to investors.
It's just a bit of a miserable way to do it. Whereas yeah. Marvel did a big Marvel event, got everyone there, and people really didn't know what
they
to expect.
They were all on the call, though. Like Batman was on the call, Superman was on the call. You just couldn't hear them.
We just thought it was going to be the Marvel one was going to be a trailer or something, but it was an announcement of
a lot of films.
So yeah, so DC made their announcement on October 15, and then Marvel on October 28. So I wonder if that was like, oh, we got 2 weeks. Let's show those guys.
Just pull out the big guns.
So, phase three for Marvel and phase one, I guess, for DC.
Yeah.
But a hell of a lot of films, like maybe 20 films between the two of them.
Between, in the next kind of 5 years or so, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, up to about 2020, we've got movies going. Look, the final one is Green Lantern in 2020. Can't wait for that.
What a way to finish.
The reboot.
Ryan Reynolds, rest of
lots of stuff we were expecting. So, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yep.
I guess maybe, yes, we were by that point because it had been a huge hit. A Flash movie, the Justice League movies, getting a Wonder Woman movie, we kind of thought that would happen.
Yep.
But also a few surprises, a Cyborg movie starring Ray Fisher. Mm.
I know nothing about Ray Fisher.
No, but I guess we're going to find out in Justice League Part 1 who
Do
Ray
you think
Fisher
he's
is.
A man that fishes for rays?
Oh, can we not do that?
Manta or Sting? No, okay.
There might be other rays, I don't know.
We're getting a Shazam movie, we're getting a Black Panther movie, Captain Marvel movie. We're getting another Thor movie, which I was quite surprised about.
I would say there's a lot of films there that not necessarily were like, we need those.
I don't, yeah. Shazam, especially, who wants to go around with people using the app to listen to music?
Wow.
No.
That's what I'm excited for, though. Only because
is that not
the
thing?
Character used to be called Captain Marvel, and he's my dad's favourite superhero. So
that's
he's who my dad used to tell me about. Yeah, Billy Batson.
There you go.
And he says Shazam and he turns into Captain Marvel. Although he can't be called Captain Marvel anymore because...
They don't know the right.
Is it DC?
Who owns him? Not who owns him. Who's playing him?
We don't know. We only know that The Rock's playing Black Adam, who's the kind of anti-hero, the kind of villain of the piece.
Cool. Yeah.
But yeah, a Thor. I think quite surprised we got a Thor sequel and not an Ant-Man. We're not going to get an Ant-Man sequel. And
we obviously got the first Ant-Man, yeah.
No, and so. Obviously this year was quite a big year for Ant-Man because it all kind of went wrong behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright left to be replaced by Peyton Reed. Oh, and Doctor Strange finally got cast.
Yeah.
We had a funny little video.
A lot of speculation.
Yeah, or just everyone saying it's going to be Benedict Cumberbatch apart from him. So yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's exciting. We're going to get...
So it all kicks off next year, really.
Yes.
With like Age of Ultron in April, May kind of time.
Yeah,
it?
And then the year after Batman v Superman. I guess the kind of interesting is the fact that both companies are doing two double-parters. So we're going to get two Justice League movies and two Infinity War movies. Mm. So it's interesting to see how they go about doing that. Cliffhangers... Yeah. You know, I guess they're shooting them back to back. It's just going to be interesting to see how they split them up and who's going to die as well.
But it feels like the Batman versus Superman film has been coming for so long already. And the fact it's not coming out next year, it's coming out the year after.
Yeah.
So you're probably, what, is it summer? I don't know.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
18 months away.
Yeah.
2016, yeah.
Oh!
That is a long time.
Although one of my favourite bits of 2014 was definitely the bants between Zack Snyder and J.J. Abrams.
You like that?
Sending their little kind of social things to each other.
Having said that, a break is possibly not a bad thing. We have had a lot of superhero movies recently, and maybe, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think I'm kind of a bit tapped out on superheroes.
Well, unlucky, because it's just about to get stepped
no,
up.
No, but like a break before they kind of really get into the deep stuff. Like, I don't know.
I just feel like they announced Batman vs Superman too early.
Mm. That's kind of a recurring theme, though, isn't it, in terms of
that
early announcements?
Comic Con last year.
Yeah.
So 2 years in advance.
I don't know if they announced too early. They just pushed it back a whole year when they were shooting it. I mean, that's the problem. It would have been coming out next year.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Why do you think that was in retrospect? Do you think that was because they thought, right, we want to do this film, but then actually it was like, actually, we need a bigger plan, and then we're going to have this entire slate with heroes that kind of go from one film to the next?
I think it's partly that. I think it's also partly next year is a crazy year to release a film in because you've got a new Bond, a new Star Wars, a new Avengers.
But what did they... Like, obviously, when BVS was pushed back, did we know that there was a Bond coming next year?
We knew there was a Bond. We knew there was a Star... Yeah, we knew that they were all already kind of stationed in that year.
Yeah.
So I think partly they were kind of thinking, let's get our own year when it's not up against these other billion-dollar franchises.
Yeah.
Because that's what they are. This year was a year without billion-dollar franchises, really.
Mm. You've got Jurassic World in there as well.
Yeah, so potentially four.
Yeah.
Is there room for five? I don't know. They decided... Or, you know, it's an effects-heavy movie. Ben Affleck was quite busy on Gone Girl as well, so I don't know if it was scheduling.
Still not seen that.
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or we'll find out if it hits your
best
of 2014 later.
But we're going to be kept busy. The superhero show is going to be kept busy. That was the biggest thing of the year, the superhero show launch.
Right? It was the biggest thing of the year.
You and Creeper getting your own little show.
Mm. Nailed it.
Well, the people wanted it and they finally got it, so.
More Tilly.
Yeah.
Tilly time.
I'm still waiting for the superhero show IGN UK podcast crossover that we spoke
about. We're going to make that happen. We'll make that happen in 3D.
Yeah, good.
On IMAX.
In 4D aromascope.
Second.
So that was the biggest movie story of the year, I'd say. What was the biggest game story of the year? Come on, give me something.
Well, I wouldn't say there's lots of big games. There's some interesting news stories. So obviously Facebook bought Oculus Rift.
Mm. Yes.
Now that was a... Oculus has obviously been a kind of fan favourite for gamers and VR in general. It's been kind of big, obviously, this year. Sony showed off Morpheus. Still not really sure of its application of in terms of consumers. But Facebook buying it is a kind of strange one. Now obviously we have friends who work at the Facebook office.
Mm.
And I still don't know if they really know how Facebook is going to incorporate Oculus. Maybe I'm sure they do. They just can't share that information with us.
Mm.
And it was... actually, this year has been, you know, a lot of big purchases.
It's been quite tech heavy rather than games, I would say. Like, I don't know, for the year following the release of the big consoles, it's been quite quiet on the
Flappy Bird is the biggest games news ever.
Flappy... Like,
for the 3 days it was on sale.
Like,
or available.
Genuinely... IGN reviewed Flappy Bird.
Mm.
That game we reviewed. Like, that is...
I've never played it.
Haven't you?
I don't need to play it. I know exactly what it's about.
I've got it on my phone and have never updated it, so I still have the original version. Which sounds pathetic. But like, because obviously, do you remember the ridiculousness of when he pulled it because it was ruining people's lives?
Yeah.
And phones with it installed were going on eBay you know, thousands of pounds. Like, it's diabolical. Who cares?
But if it's that thing, right? It's the same with the PlayStation anniversary consoles that you could buy from a place in East London for £19.94, and you can sell it for $20,000. That is one hell of a
But the thing is, with the PlayStation, it's a bit of history. It's probably going to be... I'd imagine it would appreciate in value. You would hope. Mm. Flappy Bird is like... It's a flash in the pan.
When was the last time you checked eBay for a phone with Flappy Bird on it to see how much it's going for?
When I wrote this story about it.
Ages ago.
Yonks.
So that's my point. They might have gone up in value. They might be worth millions by now.
So he's re-released it since.
I'm joking.
Okay, good. Right. Well, I'm glad that that has been cleared up. But he re-released it since, so I don't think it will be.
Yeah.
But it was weird. It was, so you never played it. Did you play it, Tilly?
No.
As a massive fan of Angry Birds, I'm very disappointed by
you
that.
Like Candy Crush as well, because we have Candy Crush bands.
I did them both for a bit, and then I stopped them both because I thought I should be reading books. This is ridiculous.
No, I had to delete Candy Crush.
If your only experience of games is goddamn Angry Birds, and what was the other one?
Candy Crush. And Words With Friends.
Chris.
I don't
so
have any friends,
more
which is my problem.
Life than that.
Scrabble's the best.
I can't believe you're still playing Words With Friends.
I'll play it for the rest of my life. I'll play Scrabble for the rest of my life.
Did you ever get into Draw Something? Draw Something was amazing
stop
back in the day.
Cheapskate and buy the official Scrabble app. Is that?
It's too much money. I've got quite you. And then I went back to playing Scrabble, and the stuff was ever slightly wrong. It's like, oh no! Slightly different tiles.
Play a knockoff.
So I'm trying to look up Flappy Bird on eBay and see how
but
much.
But no,
it
Flappy. Oh, yeah. So his name, I believe his name was Dong Nguyen, but I apparently was pronounced that wrong because I did news videos and people got very cross with
me. I was going to say, that doesn't sound like it's pronounced correctly.
No, well, it's Dong Nguyen.
Just leave it at that.
Stop. Up to 150 grand. That was back in February.
No.
That's in the Telegraph. Keep talking.
Genuinely,
a lot more than an anniversary PlayStation.
And I had it on my phone, and then I got... This is all to the year when I got mugged twice. My phone got stolen twice. And both of them had Flappy Bird on.
Well, maybe they've gone and sold them.
Well, this is the point. I could have just sold those
phones. The moral of the story is stop waving your phone around.
Genuinely, no one... Yeah, it did happen on the street.
There you go.
Yeah, it was my own fault.
I've never had a phone stolen.
It's
I've
London,
lost
though.
The phone, but that's because I was in a nightclub.
Before this year, never.
A nincompoop.
Okay. Any news?
Nah, let's move on.
No.
All right. Done.
On to the next one.
Other kind of stuff. So E3 kind of came and went. Nothing amazing. Yeah, obviously, we saw a bit more of, a few more bits of information on stuff that was coming out. I think the most interesting thing for me, there was two bits. There was the Destiny beta.
Yes.
Because they showed off Destiny. Lots of people excited about Destiny. And then suddenly it was, don't just watch the videos of it. There's a beta of it going on right now. And I think that is brilliant. The more we can do of that, get people playing the games at the same time as us kind of showing them is fantastic. But then also PT, which was Hideo Kojima's horror game that he did with that funny little Spanish man.
Yeah, with El Toro.
Thank you very much.
And he's not little and he's not funny. He's
not
awesome.
Big and he's not clever.
All right, Spanish man.
He's massive.
Okay. Oh, he's Mexican, isn't he?
Yep. Speak
brilliant,
Spanish.
I'm doing so well.
offensive on many levels.
What are you going to say about PT?
I'm just going to talk about Guillermo del Toro.
What? two pints at lunchtime, Simon.
Exactly. So the thing about that game is, it's just the most effed up thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they can turn that into a full-length game.
Mm.
And we kind of saw that a little bit with Alien Isolation. Be messed up, and it obviously borrows a kind of lot of the horror tropes that you see in kind of films. But it's an interactive, I would say it's an interactive experience rather than the game, because you can get, well, I got all the way up to the end and I couldn't solve it, and I have no idea how some people actually did solve it without like following kind of walkthroughs. But it's properly out there and messed up, and if we can do horror that well as an experience, then great. Like, I would question how much, you know, you wouldn't want to sit there and play that for 8 hours. It would not be a fun experience.
Is it pleasant? Like, did you enjoy it?
Not really.
Great.
But you know what I feel about horror anyway. I don't particularly like
horror. No, I don't like horror. I get scared, like, if something attacks me from behind, and that sounds awful. But yeah.
In games. Talking about money.
In clubs.
Yeah, let's play a Friday night.
Yeah, but yeah.
What else happened? Obviously, you know, Wii U, I would argue that this was the first year in Wii U's existence, and it feels like it's been around for a long time, even though it hasn't been around for that long. It's actually becoming a viable...
I remember you guys coming back from... Where was it that you first saw Wii U?
E3. Two years ago.
Yeah, and you came back and you were so excited. You told me all about it, probably on this podcast, and I kept saying, I don't really get it. Like, it doesn't sound that amazing and that revolutionary. And you guys were saying, no, it is. You have to see it. And then the last 2 years, like, you guys have barely spoken about it.
Did we really get
you
that
were properly excited about it? Like, that was the best thing you saw while you were there. And I just didn't get it at the time. And it was just funny to me that no one really mentioned it again the last 2 years.
So, well, now it's back, Chris.
So, yeah, no, I'm really intrigued. So what's changed?
So, like, when it launched a year and a bit ago, it didn't really have... And it was, even for the first 12 months, it didn't really have a killer app, didn't have a game
that
would make you go out and buy it. But now it's got a really strong back catalogue. This year you've had Super Smash Brothers, you've had Zelda HD Remake, Mario Kart, Bayonetta, and suddenly you've got a game that's obviously a lot more attractively priced now as well, because you can pick it up for kind of 180 quid or something like that. And the thing about it, you know, it's a Nintendo console, so it offers a different experience from PS4 and Xbox One. And that's what I quite like. I don't have one myself, still. But I'm very, very, very close to buying one.
Yeah, and I'm still thinking about kind of asking for one for Christmas. Because I'm still a child and I have a Christmas list. Buy one, Luke. That's the thing. I'm now at the point.
If you've bought one and you're looking for other games to play, that is totally up
there. And the more I see of... and.
But that's what it does.
Smash
really.
Bros is like...
It just always felt like a bit of a novelty to me. It was like doing clever things that you weren't really looking for and don't really
but
need.
I think they kind of pitched it wrong. I was trying to talk about it to someone the other day. And again, like, there are still people out there who are like, think it's just like a tablet upgrade for the original Wii.
Well, it's not. They called it the Wii U. They should never have called it the Wii U.
No, agreed.
They absolutely...
That confused me.
...screwed up the release. They showed the controller. They didn't show the console.
You were really happy at the time about your wife being able to watch the TV while you could play on your machine.
Yeah.
I still don't really get that. Is that a real reason that a lot of people would be buying it? Because I feel like still you're going to watch the telly together with your partner, or...
You haven't been around to my house.
And again, you haven't been around to mine.
Or if not, you'll be on your phone checking your Facebook and your emails rather than playing a game while...
Like, when Zelda comes out, if I can play Zelda on that screen without having to watch it on my main TV, and it offers me the full experience, and it will, because you can do it a number of other ways. Obviously, PS4 Remote Play has that. PlayStation 2 now does that. The problem you've got there is, like, trying to play a PS4 game on a Vita just doesn't quite work properly. The controls aren't there. But with Wii, you would be playing Zelda with the pad anyway, with the TV screen pad thing anyway.
Yeah.
So in theory, it's offering the same experience. And I would definitely be up for that.
You wouldn't go in the other room and play it on another telly if you had a telly in another room.
Which is you, Chris. I've only got one TV.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued. But you could spend the money on another TV. I don't know.
What do you mean? Well, if I bought another TV, then I wouldn't have a Wii U.
Have a console.
You still don't have a Wii U.
No, I know, but I need to buy one, not another TV. Also, what kind of TV would you get for 180 quid? Seriously.
These days, actually quite a decent one.
No, you wouldn't.
Better than your little screen. This in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
The Wii U won't be around in 3 years' time.
Well, don't buy one now.
Do you really
then.
Think so?
No.
Do you really think Nintendo were going to announce a new console that quickly?
I didn't say that. I said the Wii U won't be around in 3 years' time. People won't be making games for Wii U in 3 years' time. Bet. Look at this. On camera.
So Nintendo won't have a console out? Nintendo's going to...
That's not what Alex said.
That's not what I said. Do you want to take the bet or not? Chris,
what's it on? No, I'm taking it, but what's it on?
I'm surprised it's still around.
Let's just keep going.
Let's move on. I've got a bit of news. Star Wars happened. Well, it actually happened in 2013, if we're honest.
But it's been
ongoing. We got a name. We got spin-offs. We got sequels.
We got a lot of stars.
We got directors. We got cast. We got cast character names.
And a trailer.
So, I mean, from here on in, it's going to be non-stop now, Star Wars, which is awesome.
I'm still bitter about 1313 getting cancelled.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic.
We got a cast full of Brits, which I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
Domhnall Gleeson, Andy Serkis, that
who's
girl.
He? Who's Domhnall Gleeson?
He was in About Time. Did you see that?
Nope.
Did you see Harry Potter?
I've seen Harry Potter.
She was Bill Weasley in that. He's the son of Brendan Gleeson, who played Mad-Eye Moody in Harry Potter.
And he's in Ex Machina. He's very, very good. Okay. Lots of British actors in it, though. Disaster on set. Harrison Ford getting hit by the door of the Millennium Falcon. And I actually heard it was much more serious than they let on.
Yeah. Really?
Very serious. Yeah, and that's why there wasn't really much news about it, that he was in real trouble. But
should have let the Wookiee win.
Too soon.
Tasteless.
Why is that tasteless?
He could have died.
Oh, come off it.
But we've still got another year to wait. Over a year.
I know.
Well, what day is this going to drop on?
Afterwards, so just under a year.
Yeah.
So December 18th, 2015 is what we're waiting for. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Now we've seen a teaser as well.
It's not as long as blooming Batman versus Superman.
I know, but they haven't released a teaser for that. Like, there's a teaser out there now. I want to see it.
Do you like the? Did you like the teaser? Did you like the lightsaber?
I thought it was all right. We discussed it at length on the podcast. I thought it was fine. It didn't. Yeah. I've seen much better teasers, but
I hope they don't do too many.
They don't what?
No. Well,
they do too.
The rumor is the next one's in April.
I'd like a trailer.
That's in front of Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still find it weird that Star Wars is part of Disney. I find it really weird.
No, I do too.
So we've got, spin-off-wise, we've got Gareth Edwards doing the next spin-off, The Christmas After, which is out there now, rumour-wise, but I heard this a while ago, that it's definitely a Boba Fett movie.
Right.
Like 99% sure. I've heard that from people in and around it.
That's like the heist movie type.
That's what's come out lately, is that it's like a bunch of bounty hunters.
Stealing the Death Star plans.
And he's writing that with Gary Witter.
Yeah.
Video game.
He is. Ex-editor of PC Game in the UK.
Josh Trank is doing the next spin-off. Josh Trank did Chronicle. And he's doing Fantastic Four, coming out next summer.
What happened to Chronicle 2?
It never really got off the ground. Right. I think Max Landis, who wrote the first one, wrote a script for the second one, and the studio didn't really like it. Wanted to go in their own direction. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then...
It in one direction.
Josh Trank got signed up for Fantastic Four and then Star Wars, and he's like, yeah, I'm done here.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and also, exactly. It was a great standalone movie, maybe.
It was good.
And then Rian Johnson is going to do the Star Wars sequels, so not J.J. Abrams, which is interesting. But he's a great filmmaker. I mean, he's made three films, and I think, and they've all been fantastic. Looper.
I loved Looper.
Looper was okay.
Looper really
was
good.
Amazing. It was okay.
And Brick, and I've forgotten the other one, but it was a con artist movie. So yeah, it's all happening in the Star Wars universe, and
it's all happening in the whole Star Wars superhero. What a good time to be an IGN reader. That's what I will say.
I agree.
I like what you've done there.
Thanks.
Finally, it says here 2015 is the new 2014. What does that mean?
So many things have slipped from this year.
It's been really sad.
Into next year, not last year. That'd be weird. That's kind of
time travel type stuff.
Because obviously we were expecting Batman out this year, Battlefield out this year, Evolve out this year, Witcher out this year. No.
They all buggered off.
And so it'd be interesting to see what happens. Like, and I think going back to the E3 that we were talking about, that really did become a look at what's coming next year.
Mm.
And E3 is normally like, you know, look at the kind of cool stuff that's happened between now and the end of the year. So... be interesting to see if that becomes a trend and next year's E3 is about stuff that's happening or whether it's about stuff that's happening further and further away. Because even The Division, which
that's
was
slipped
shown
as well.
Not this E3, but the E3 before, that may come out next year. You would hope it is going to come out next year.
It's been a bit... a bit kind of upsetting because a lot of kind of early adopters who bought their consoles on the premise of these are the games that you can get next year.
Watch Dogs.
Exactly.
Look at that. That was supposed to be a launch title.
And this thing, everything slipped. You know, Drive Club as well. Drive Club came out, what, like a month ago?
Yeah.
And that was meant... and still is now is playable. Mm. You know, all these slips. But people bought this at launch with these launch prices... and it's all slipped, and there's been price cuts since, and they could have held off and gotten it much cheaper.
I would say that.
I know that's risk of being an early adopter,
absolutely.
But still.
On any kind of technology.
I know, but I think it's particularly unfortunate the degree to which it's happened. Like, it's not just one or two titles.
If you're buying a PlayStation 4 for Drive Club, then that's your own fault.
But this thing, you're not just buying a. If you're buying a PS4 for Drive Club and just Drive Club got delayed, okay. But Drive Club, Watch Dogs, Battlefield, Evolve, like everything.
I know that.
I'm just saying,
What are you saying?
I'm just saying it's been a bit of a unfortunate time.
Consumer rights. You're IGN's very own Anne Robinson.
I am, yes. Yeah. We need Bear Park with his hair.
But speaking of disappointments, and we were, because obviously Watch Dogs and...
Seamless.
Well, I was going to say The Crew, but yeah, The Crew was a disappointment as well. But I think it hasn't been a great year, I think, especially for like Ubisoft, for example. Assassin's Creed, obviously their biggest franchise, pretty much every single year. And then Unity came out as the kind of the game that was focused on next generation, and no one had a face in the game.
That was unfortunate.
Have you seen the screenshots for that?
No. Oh, I did, yeah.
Just
yeah,
like
yeah.
The floating eyeballs.
That didn't go well. That didn't go well.
The eyeballs and the muscles. Yeah.
What was that German professor who used... That was his show that was just kind of like muscle bodies. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy who cut people open. Yeah. It's like the autopsy thing, yeah.
It was just so weird. It's just having this like eyelidless person talking to you. It's like, oh my God. All kinds of screwed up stuff.
I just remember playing South Park The Stick of Truth in like May or something and thinking, you know what? Ubisoft has such a strong year ahead of them. Ubisoft has suddenly... Because I always think of EA and Activision as the big two, really, as my personal... was my outlook.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the year. This is the year that Ubisoft kind of claimed it. They had Watchdog, they had The Crew, yeah. They had The Division. They had everything lined up. And it all just went really wrong.
Obviously, they've had some big hits.
Oh, yes.
And we'll talk about those shortly.
Later.
But I do think, you know, to mess up Assassin's Creed to the extent where... I think it was the creative director sent out a personal note and they offered anybody who'd bought a season pass to the DLC a free game. You know that something pretty serious has gone wrong there. And obviously, next year's Assassin's Creed has been leaked. Assassin's Creed Victory set in Victorian London. I think it was Victorian London.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, did they announce that? Did they leak that?
To deliberately.
On purpose, just to try and go... Forget that one over there. Let's go move on to next one. I don't know. That's the cynic.
But Rogue was good. But unfortunately, Rogue was on last gen.
Yep. Well, that's not a bad thing. But I just... It wasn't a focus for them. But then also The Crew, which, you know, a lot of driving games came out. Forza, arguably the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
But I don't particularly like kind of, you know, straight down the line racing games. I like something a bit more fun. So I was looking forward to The Crew. And I played the beta. And it just left me cold.
Yeah, I mean,
by all accounts, the full game is ambitious, but not that interesting.
I like MMOs, so I kind of like that aspect of it. But it's a bit of a weird one because I was actually slightly more excited for Drive Club.
Mm.
And again, Drive Club, just all those launch issues and stuff. I don't know. This has kind of been the year again. I think it's good that developers are moving forward and trying to embrace the whole possibilities of the consoles. But there's too much focus on online only and these launch issues. And what I... And again, like, the fact that I started playing Warcraft years ago, like 10 years ago, and you'd see all these kind of issues way back in the day. This is the kind of stuff that no longer affects Warcraft because they've been through it and they know what to expect. You'd expect that kind of knowledge has permeated the industry.
Yeah, but see, I don't think it is... I don't think it's a case of knowledge. Like... GTA is a good example, right? That is a game where... Well,
GTA Online was bought, wasn't it?
That has been tested to the limit.
Mm.
But it's very different testing it in front of 100,000 people rather than millions.
Yeah.
And you just can't stress test that unless you do a beta. And even then, when you do a beta like Destiny, there's no guaranteeing that that's going to go smoothly. I would say that Warcraft is... an exception rather than the rule.
Yeah.
Because they've been in that space for a long, long time.
That's kind of why it surprised me a little bit with Destiny, because I would have assumed that... So they obviously had launch issues. And I would have assumed that with Activision Blizzard, with it being such a big thing, they would have brought in some of the Warcraft guys and been like, look, what to expect? Server load-wise.
I don't know. I'm not technically minded enough. I don't think it's simply a case of going like, can you add a bit more memory to this, please? What about movies? Biggest disappointment movie-wise?
I think it's been quite a good year, really. I've not had any big disappointments. There's been lots of indie films I've liked. I think some of the blockbusters have been quite good.
Yeah.
Mm. The films I didn't think I was going to enjoy, I didn't enjoy. So Spider-Man, I was never bothered about, and it turned out to be exactly what I thought it would be.
It wasn't a bad film, it just wasn't a good film.
It was fine. It just gave me a bit of a headache, really. It's just like a... 2 hours of white noise.
Bless you.
I'll put up my hands up, haven't seen Transformers yet, but as I didn't like any of the other ones, I can't see this is the one changing it for me. A couple I kind of was interested in that didn't really live up to expectations. Transcendence.
right,
which was directed by Chris Nolan, cinematographer, one of the best cinematographers. And it sounded like a really cool premise, but it was
that Thingy Fister.
That's the Wally Fister.
That's it. Yeah,
I knew you'd like that.
That's an amazing name, isn't it? Let's face it.
Is that Johnny Depp in it?
Yeah, it was just like a crap Lawnmower Man, and Lawnmower Man wasn't that good in the first place.
If that's your benchmark,
and a Million Ways to Die in the West wasn't very funny, and I really liked Ted, so yeah. Seth MacFarlane had his first big folly. But yeah, I think, and there's one film that's coming out in January in the UK, Inherent Vice, the new Paul Thomas Anderson. It was good, but I have such high expectations for him. Right. Didn't quite live up to them. But really, I've got no problems with this year. I think it's been a pretty good year for films.
Where does Interstellar fit in all this? Is that a disappointment? Is it a hit of the year, or is it just kind of, it's just up there?
Well, I think it was a... I don't know. I think people liked it without loving it. It didn't get any of the big Golden Globe nominations, which means it probably won't get the Oscar ones. I didn't think it was good enough. Like, I think it's an engaging film. Visually, it's pretty stunning, but I don't know. There's a million and one holes in it, it felt like, and it just didn't really resonate with me. The scenes, and people around me were tearing up, but right. It didn't really get me in
still,
the gut.
Still not seen it. I need to see it.
There are scenes in it that are really designed to make you cry, and he gets criticised for making quite cold movies, and this is, I felt like him trying to make something that's got real warmth to it, but yeah. I didn't buy it, really. It was too contrived.
Right.
Not a bad film. I really enjoyed watching it, but it won't... I'll quickly forget about it.
Yeah.
I think I'll sooner watch Inception again before I watch Interstellar again.
Well, I've watched Inception quite a few times. I never saw it in the cinema, but I've probably watched it about 3 or 4 times since then. And every time I watch it, I like it more.
Interesting.
And I saw it about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. It's maybe my favourite Nolan movie. Love it.
I like it.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think it's been a good year for movies.
The only thing I would say, Wildstar was a bit of a disappointment for me.
Why?
As a personal thing, it was kind of meant to be the... MMOs as a genre have kind of been stilted for a little bit, and I think there's been this kind of widespread idea that everyone's moving towards MOBAs. You know, lots of people play League of Legends, lots of people play Dota. You look at all the people who are announcing new MOBAs and things. Wildstar was kind of the golden child that was meant to rejuvenate it. It was meant to bring things back to original WoW when people like loved it and, you know, like, oh, when things were great. And then you actually kind of played it, and it... Siri's talking to me.
You can turn Siri off, please. Yeah. Sorry about that.
But basically, you actually then played it, and it's rose-tinted glasses. You know, people were very much idealizing what they used to play, like trying to find 40 people to get together and like play a raid.
That's the same. Actually, one game we've completely glossed over actually so far is Titanfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the build-up to Titanfall was mental. Like, we were all excited about it, and rightly so. I think it was an amazing game, but 3 months after launch, those servers were dead.
Nobody even 3 months, you know? Like,
and that's the problem with more and more online games and people sharing their playtime across more and more games. It's very hard to find games that have got popularity within them. I think actually Destiny is one of the few games that does.
Because this thing, you're so dependent on the community, right? Yeah. And that's the thing that keeps bringing people back to Warcraft. Like, you know, we saw subscriber numbers, I think, dip to below 7 million, and then they went back to 10.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You go back because of the community, people to play with, you know? It's so dependent on that. And once, like with Wildstar, you need your evangelists, right? And people left. And then that was it, because there was just no one to play with.
Fair enough.
But it's sad. Like, all the building blocks were there, but I thought it had a lot of potential, and it just slightly misgaged it, and it's gone wrong.
Fair enough. Well, we should talk about more positive things, I
yes.
feel. Because I think for all of its kind of disappointments, I think 2014 has been a pretty good year. There have some very big games, TV shows as well. Like, one of the things, I think one of the highlights for me was Game of Thrones this year. I thought it was a very strong season. Like, especially the, I can't remember if it was episode 8 or 9, but the one where they're raiding the wall. I watched that with Pear and Tal at their kind of loft apartment.
Yes, we were there.
In LA. And, you know, we were jet lagged to hell.
But it was for E3.
On a massive projector screen, which obviously I don't have at my house. It was, you know, magnificent. Mm. Who directed that?
I think famous. It might be Neil Marshall.
Yeah.
He's tending to direct the big action ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get him on the podcast soon.
Yeah.
We should get him in.
But that was amazing. I think just TV in general. So that, I think this season was, the first part of this season's Walking Dead has been strong.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow I always talk about, it's great. Flash mm-hmm. has been fantastic. Gotham, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really enjoying a lot of the TV. The biggest disappointment TV-wise, definitely Doctor Who.
Really?
really?
I'm just not gelling with Capaldi. I've watched, you know, 3 episodes. And much, much prefer Matt Smith. He's so... And maybe this has changed from, you know, episode three onwards. But he's so kind of negative and dour. And that's his kind of shtick, right?
Mm.
But I find quite cold. Too much.
Quite cold, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about movies for you, Chris?
Movies? On the indie side of things, I really liked Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, a lot of people said that.
Yeah, it's a great strong, movie.
Like
a great
movie.
Dark, nasty movie. And my favourite film of the year is Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mm.
I like Wes Anderson, but I felt like his films were getting progressively worse. Like, I think Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums were probably my 2 favourites. And then they've kind of gone down in my estimation a little bit. And then this one, I think it's the best thing he's ever done. Like, it's a very Wes Anderson film, so it's kind of... You know, you are worried that you go through the motions, but then he's just taken everything and just raised his game, like visually and musically and acting and performances. And it's just a really lovely, beautiful film. It's a really sweet film. Yeah, so that was a really special film for me.
Yeah.
Mm.
How about you guys? Good films you've seen this year?
Well, obviously Guardians. There was a lot of excitement around Guardians and I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was... We were talking over lunch about it. I didn't think it was the kind of the most incredible film I'd ever seen. I did think that Chris Pratt was amazing in it, though. I thought he really kind of raised that film. And I know people have said it before, but he's definitely the kind of this generation's Han Solo in terms of his performance. So I'm interested to see how he's going to be in Jurassic World next year.
Mm-hmm.
Other stuff, I didn't particularly enjoy Captain America that much. I thought the Winter Soldier himself was pretty rubbish.
Yeah, he's a bit bland, isn't he? He's like a Terminator, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think like the whole Marvel Shield crossover with Captain America, you had to watch that in such a specific way to get it.
Mm.
And there were so many... Like I think I was an episode behind or ahead. I can't quite remember. But either way, it was just like... the stars will never align. Well, it will for a handful of
But people. I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, and it's interesting watching it with hindsight, knowing what's coming in the film world. It's quite like, they do sneak little things in here and there, where it's funny, you think the villains are wrong and the agents are right, if you didn't know what's going to come. And then, because I know, it's like, oh, actually, they were right and you were wrong.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
So you're watching season one of...
I'm halfway through now.
Because... The only other thing about it is obviously, you know, they brought out the big guns for like episode one and stuff like that. And then, you know, you hear all these references of what's going on in New York and this, that, and the other. It's like, you haven't got the budget to get these people over here. And it's kind of, Tyrese of Fury's just behind that door. No, I don't think he is.
This guy's met Thor.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's definitely a TV show that got better as it went on. I just found that kind of crossover a bit too much, whereas the crossover with Flash and Arrow,
it's more organic.
Yeah, exactly. It felt kind of more natural.
What about you, Luke? Any films you like this year in particular?
Yeah, I mean, like, so the other day I watched The Inbetweeners, and I thought that was a bit of a kind of letdown, but I tell you...
I watched that the other day as well.
The Inbetweeners too. Like,
do you just watch it together and not realise? No. No, okay.
He's been shy.
Did you find it funny?
I laughed a lot at some of the bits, when he went down the...
With the
water
behind him.
It's really funny.
It's totally my level of humour.
I just felt it was a little bit kind of, I don't know, we'd kind of we decided to watch it based on the fact that we'd seen some of the earlier episodes on TV again, and it just doesn't quite live up to that. But what did
it
really
ran out of steam. I think that's the problem. It was
he didn't when he was going down that slide. It was all coming out.
What did really surprise me and what I did really like was 22 Jump Street. Did you say that you didn't like it or as much?
Yeah, I reviewed it. I thought it was funny.
Was just more of the same.
It was almost like a remake, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, 22 Jump Street for me.
Very funny.
The first one. My name's Chief.
I watched it on the plane when I went on holiday, and I found it so funny that I then watched it again coming back and annoyed everyone by laughing very loudly.
There you go.
But I, yeah, no, so I like that. But I, as you were saying, like, I'm kind of, I'm a little bit burnt out on superhero films, to be honest. I am Days of Future Past. I was a little... Days of Future Past. I was a little bit let down by. I'm a big X-Men fan. Like, I love the cartoon. I love the comics. I love... I actually like all of the first films. I even don't mind Last Stand that much. And I love First Class. I just felt that it was... And I don't know if it's Jennifer Lawrence fatigue, that I've just seen too much of her. Like,
Literally too much of her.
But I kind of just... for me, something about Days of Future Past didn't resonate. And and it may even have been the fact that seeing the older X-Men compared to the new ones, the older ones, just even briefly seeing them, it really struck me. And I was like, these are my X-Men. I really like watching these guys. And I was waiting every time we were in the present to kind of like, or in the past rather, to jump back to them. But yeah, so Days of Future Past was let down.
I actually thought, I saw the last Wolverine movie, which probably came out last year.
So the one in Japan.
Way better than I thought it was going to
be. It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
I expected it to be utter dog, but no.
I'm going
to
talk about another film in a minute, but should we do some game chat
as
well?
Talk about games. I'm not going to talk about my favourite game just yet, because everybody knows what that is. But big
Flappy
surprise,
Bird.
Flappy Bird, exactly. I haven't stopped playing that from... Yeah, I bought it for 150 grand on eBay, and it's worth every penny.
Yeah.
Pro Evo. After, I don't know, what is it, 10 years of being in the shadow of FIFA.
Mortal.
Finally, a game worthy of the Pro Evo name. And it's really, really good. It's better than FIFA. And that's all I've got to say on that.
Controversial. That's a big statement.
Will that continue, or is that just for this year?
Well, as a Palace fan, you know it's much easier to be an underdog than it is to kind of stay at the top of your game all the time. So I think... Sure. I'm just pleased that... Because if you look at the money that EA has to pump into FIFA, it's... they've got it sewn up. And don't get me wrong, FIFA still outsold PES by a crazy amount. But to have something, have a game that's more enjoyable to play and have, hopefully, get a bit more competition there that hasn't been there for the last 5 years or so, I think is good for everyone. So hopefully it will make FIFA think about what next year's game is going to be, because I think this year, more than any year, it's been like the improvements were like barely noticeable, really. And you know, in some cases actually made the game worse, I think. So,
and do you think it's acceptable for an Arsenal fan to call any other team an underdog?
Yeah, absolutely.
gonna win the league this year.
We're having the best season of our lives.
Finger out. what else we got on the game side of things then?
So you mentioned Destiny earlier, and then like you were like saying, well, has it been like one of the biggest disappointments? I don't think that's fair to say.
I don't know. There was a lot of anticipation for it.
You said hype earlier.
I did say hype earlier.
But
and
I corrected you.
And I didn't say it here deliberately, and now you've said it.
Can we just play that argument from earlier on in the office?
Yes, no, so there's anticipation for it. And I just feel that I was very excited about it. There's not really enough content. I like more narrative structure.
What level did you get to?
I'm an incredibly sad man with a lot of time to kill. Like, that's why I did
it. That's why that game should be perfect for you. Like, I'm just saying, like, so you haven't done any of the raids?
No, well, so I've done the strikes and stuff, but the raid, Vault of Glass, you need friends, which unfortunately I don't have.
So that's the bit that you forgot to clarify. You used to be part of an MMO crew.
But this is the thing, I've got MMO guildmate, and they all started with me, and one by one they've all peeled off. It just doesn't have the stickiness. For me, I think it's an MMO light, right?
Well,
but that's the problem. It's not enough of a self-contained shooter with a good story and, like, coherent, enjoyable... But there's not enough coherent, enjoyable gameplay for me to play it as a single-player shooter, for me personally. But similarly, as an MMO player, there's not enough, like, actual content there for me to get my teeth into. And the grind is tedious rather than kind of seductive. And that's where Warcraft's gone right this year, because Warcraft has been dipping. Warlords of Draenor launched, 2 months ago? And subs have shot up. This, like, Tom Chilton is back directing it. He directed The Burning Crusade, and he is nailing it.
So that is a game that's had years to iterate, years to learn. This is Bungie's first stab at this kind of Also, I would say it's a bit of a first for consoles. Not many games have had that model. We've got Division coming that is going to follow suit in terms of its setup. And I just think, you know what? The first Assassin's Creed wasn't very good, but look what happened there.
So no,
the first Watch Dogs wasn't very good, but I'm pretty sure that the next one is going to be pretty good. So I think Bungie has probably learned lessons. And although, you know, it's supposed to be a 10-year franchise. Like, Destiny 2 is coming out next year or whenever it
is. Yeah. Well, that's the other point. Like, just the speed with which, you know, it's been 3 months and they're doing an expansion. And within 3 months...
I don't think that's a bad thing. You were already saying the game's not got enough content. So if it hasn't got enough content, then what better way than to give it more?
Yes, but the expansion isn't really meaty enough to kind of justify the price tag. And the other thing, just from a UK...
Your opinion.
Okay, but from a UK standpoint, $20?
I'm just saying, look, because I've seen a lot of people who have played it for hours.
Absolutely fine.
And hours,
but from a
and hours.
But from a UK standpoint as well, it's $20 and it's £20. That is a poor conversion.
Yeah.
And you do see them at least kind of pretending
That's
now,
exclusive
like,
to Destiny.
No, but you do see them at least now pretending now to make it $14.99.
Anyway, let's... Otherwise, we'll just keep arguing about that. Dragon Age is one of yours.
I love Dragon Age, so I've only just started playing it, but I am absolutely head over heels for it. It's you know what, this generation and also the end of the last generation, we haven't really seen, I don't think, a lot of really solid Western RPGs. So we had Mass Effect 3, you know, a while ago. Not really been that many, you know, they either tend to go down the MMO route or you have action adventure, but a classic kind of RPG that takes the whole tabletop gameplay thing and, you know, kind of, you know, dexterity and cunning and all these different abilities.
Is it basically Skyrim?
Pretty much, yeah. Right. And which was 2011, you know. Yeah. And it's just brilliant. But also on top of that, the writing is brilliant. Like, I ended up crying the other day at a scene. And it's like, it's just really...
Had you not saved your game, you switched your console.
Pretty much. Well written. And similarly, by ingratiating yourself to certain members of the team, you piss off other ones. And so you know you are missing certain aspects of the story because they're not going to then let you in.
Yeah.
And so that's, as far as I'm concerned, that is encouraging replayability. But I just think it is... After so long, after a drought of RPG-ness, it is fantastic.
Well, thank you for asking, Chris, but my favourite game is Far Cry 4. I know you didn't ask me, but...
I'm not bothered. Why is it Far Cry 4, Alex?
Because it's...
Because you're always like, playing it at your desk.
Because it's after
that. That is not true. What's for a bit?
I'm killing more animals.
What? But that's it. If you can blow up...
take this, turtle.
Rhinos. So I've got a new light machine gun.
What's happening?
Called, I can't remember what it's called. But it takes about 3 bullets to kill a rhino. How badass is that, right?
That is badass.
Alex the Poacher. Great.
I took out one of the major fortresses, which are pretty hard to do.
Yep.
On my own yesterday. No alerts. Pretty sweet.
Sounds like a good evening.
Exactly right.
While your wife took care of your child.
I filled some gaps. No, she was out. I filled some gaps in our kitchen wall, and then I played some Far Cry. Highlight of 2014 for me. So anyway, yeah, it's the same as Far Cry 3, but I don't mind that. It's pretty.
Yeah. If it ain't broke.
Exactly. Troy Baker is brilliant as Pagan Min. He's not in it enough, but he's really, really good. I think they've overdone it on the kind of the druggy levels a bit. Because obviously that was a big thing from Far Cry 3.
Mm.
And the two people, I can't even remember what they're called. The drug missions, they're just a bit painful. But apart from that, fantastic game. My game of the year.
Awesome.
Really?
Bang, yes.
Bish, bash,
I like
bosh.
Shooty things.
You do like shooty things.
I like
things.
Hunting. I like helicopters. It's got everything.
Yeah.
But GTA 5 is up there as well. Because the next gen remake of that is sweet.
What did you think of the first person mode of that?
I didn't set it up correctly. I find the whole thing of playing GTA like Call of Duty really weird.
Mm.
I quite like Call of Duty this year actually as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like guns, as you can see. Yeah. I should go live in America.
Recurring thing.
Yeah, get yourself to Texas.
Yeah. So by all accounts, you need to kind of set it up. You can't just go, I'm going to switch to first person mode and use third person controls. It doesn't work. And I haven't had enough time. I'm just enjoying it playing how I always play GTA. So
yeah. Okay.
I found the online bit a bit overwhelming.
I found that I haven't tried it recently, but when I started it ages ago, when it first came out, I enjoyed it, but I don't know, it's just a bit much for me.
I'm not very good at games where you have to create a character, because I can't be arsed half the time. Anyway, I created what I thought looked a bit like me. It turns out he's a bit more like a little Latino Robert Downey Jr.
I tried to make myself in Dragon Age Inquisition and it went really badly.
And every time I walk down the street, I just go... So yeah, that didn't quite work out.
That was funny.
Yes.
Good.
That's it. Me and games. Love them.
Okay. I've got a film that we didn't talk about, actually, which I wanted to bring up. I think one of the biggest stories of the year, if not the biggest in terms of what was released, is the Lego Movie. Because no one was expecting much from that, really. It's the guys that made 21 Jump Street. So you thought, well, it'll be smart and it'll be funny. But by all accounts, it was very good. Yep. I mean, I didn't love it, but I think I need to rewatch it. I was just in a bad mood. Yeah. But it made $500 million, pretty much, worldwide.
Wow.
And they're rushing a bunch of sequels now. So there's a Ninjago movie coming out, which is based on the martial arts Lego toys.
Yeah.
But then leapfrogging Lego 2, which was penciled in for 2018, they're going to do a Batman Lego movie as well.
Right.
Starring Will Arnett as the voice of Batman in 2017.
I love that about the Lego movie, is that you had, obviously, the Lego world, but you had all of these little characters. It was almost like a free pass to have all of your favourite characters in one film.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good for that. I was surprised by how much Batman was in it. It really was. So, that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, big surprise. And obviously, one we didn't mention is Godzilla. Does that fall into win or loss?
It just feels that, right?
It's a bit Interstellar for me. It was fine. I enjoyed watching it, but I enjoyed Interstellar more, actually. But Godzilla, it was like, I don't really care about anyone here.
No.
And yeah,
Especially after Breaking Bad and like, you know, kind of wanting something exciting, Bryan Cranston. It was all right. But very, very forgettable.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ah.
So far.
You're liking it?
Enjoying it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Right. It's, you know, take it at face value. Like, no spoilers, but like Megan Fox's character, April O'Neil, has just discovered the origins of the Turtles. So rubbish.
Okay.
But apart from that, you know, I think, you know, there's some funny like one-liners in there. Like it's in the trailer with him doing his Batman voice, one of the Turtles doing his Batman voice. But yeah, so far it's all right. It's all right. It's a Michael Bay movie, isn't it?
Yeah. That it is.
Yeah.
Any more gamey stuff?
I can't remember. I don't think I mentioned it. Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. Lots of people talking about how it's the kind of biggest waste of money in terms of demo because you can finish in 8 minutes. That is absolute horse crackers. It's exceptional. And if you disagree with me, then you are wrong. And it sets me up for Phantom Pain. I've seen a lot of Phantom Pain, E3, Gamescom, and then obviously there was a bit more of online shown at the Games Awards. That is one of my big games for next year. Hopefully it will come out next year. Mm. Cannot wait for that. Kojima is a genius, and we had him in the office. That's probably one of my personal highlights, is getting Kojima in the office for 2 hours and spending time figuring out what it is that kind of makes him tick. And he told us some stuff about Phantom Pain that still hasn't been revealed.
Cool.
Unfortunately, I can't talk about it now.
I know. Annoying.
Yeah. So that's my personal highlight.
And what about GTA 5? I see that on here.
I spoke about it.
Okay.
We're talking about first person mode.
I was listening to that bit.
what's your personal highlights? We'll finish up on personal highlights.
Chris? To begin?
Chris is your personal highlight. Isn't that nice? That is very sweet.
I get that a lot.
You're my personal highlight too, Chris.
I will jump in though if Luke is scared.
Well, I was just thinking.
Entertainment wise.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about it, but True Detective has been my favourite thing in terms of games, films, TV. I think it was just a really, really well put together show.
Yeah.
Every aspect of it. It was a writer and director. I didn't really know much about either of those guys. I'd seen the director's Jane Eyre film before, but like he wasn't someone who was really on my radar. And it was just so out there and so original and unusual. And then obviously McConaughey's, it's just right. He's riding the crest of a wave, but it's as good as anything he's done the last 3 years.
Was Wolf of Wall Street, that was last year, wasn't it?
It was January here. It was like November in the States.
Right, yeah.
But that was what he shot that when he's doing Dallas Buyers Club. Because that's why he's so skinny.
To kind of go through. Wow.
But that's why he's so skinny in Wolf of Wall Street, and he's starting to put the weight back on when he did True Detective was after.
Yeah.
But to see him and Woody Harrelson, it was just, I didn't like the last episode particularly.
So but I've only seen the first episode.
Okay. I thought it was just a brilliant, really hypnotic, disturbing, but very addictive piece of television.
You really have to concentrate though. And that was the biggest issue. Like, My wife and I sat down and started to watch it, and she was kind of like, who's that? What's going on here?
Yeah, but you know what? You know what happens? You start letting it go over your head a little bit because you start realizing that Rustin, what he says, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
So you don't need to have to try that hard. He's just out there. And then the plot line, you can follow that if you want, but it's as much about these two guys, really. It's the story of their friendship and their bizarre relationship they have. But yeah, and I think it's really cool that they're going to, you know, they're going in a different direction with the next series, new actors, new characters, just the same title, but the same writer, the same director. So for me, that was the thing I most enjoyed this year.
Did you meet any of your kind of like movie heroes that you hadn't done before?
I had a weird interview with... No, I won't say. was it this year I got that cool Harrison Ford exclusive? That was quite exciting.
What was that?
Where he told me that he was in talks to do Blade Runner 2, having spent the last 30 years slagging off Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a moment where anyone thought he was going to do this. And then I just mentioned it in passing because I was basically told not to ask him about Star Wars. So I thought, well, what else can I ask him about? And I did that. And he was like, yeah, just spoke to Ridley about it. I was like, I did a full-on double take.
It's that moment, isn't it, when you light up?
So that was quite cool. And then afterwards, the guy said that I was the only person that day that made him laugh.
Wow. Well done, you.
Because
you
I said, so would you do it? He said, yeah. I said, will there be voiceover this time? And he went,
bless him.
So this year was my first E3 and my first Gamescom.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do Gamescom last year.
No. So...
Pork knuckle virgin.
Yeah, so that was really... that's a phrase that longs for context.
I've seen that movie. That's disgusting.
No,
we've got a name for the podcast.
I am... As if you just said that. I really enjoyed it though. But this year, not the pork knuckle. But I really liked... I interviewed Ed Boon, who was kind of... I used to play... Like, Mortal Kombat was one of the first games I ever had, and I played it with my dad when I was young. So I've always loved the Mortal Kombat series. So that... He's always been one of my gaming heroes, so that was massive.
Nice.
And I freaked out a little bit. I've already said that I love Warcraft, so I interviewed Tom Chilton, who, again, was one of the lead designers on the original Warcraft.
You've met all your heroes.
But until this year, no. And
then we let you out.
And then you let me out of the cage. And then the final.
Get used to it.
Then the final one was Andrew House and Mark Cerny, who I interviewed at the Develop Conference in Brighton. Right. And Mark Cerny, was very personable, very nice. And Andrew House does this thing where he kind of researches you a little bit beforehand, and so he knows stuff about you because
what did he know about? Did he know that you were a pork knuckle virgin?
He did know I was a pork knuckle virgin.
It's you, the pork knuckle virgin.
But you know, as a journalist, something you do is you always do your research before you interview people, right? So you can kind of know what you're asking.
What did he know about you?
Oh, he said I saw that feature you wrote the other day. Oh yeah, no, hi Luke, before we were introduced and all of this, and like, so even if it was just speaking to the PR beforehand, but like he'd kind of try to put me on the back foot, and so I was always a bit like, ooh, and we were dancing a little bit around it, and by the end I was because
on camera,
because rather than him just talking, and so I kind of Fox felt that by the end I was like, are we flirting a little bit, and it was kind of a little bit erotic.
What's going on? So you did the Charleston and then started kissing. I've never anything like
it. No, we didn't kiss, but it came close. No, but anyway, so I had some very good interviews.
What a hell of a 2014 it's been, eh?
Yeah,
I hope that's not libelous. I don't think it is. Like, slander.
It depends whether you're telling the truth or not. Hopefully you are. Listeners, that was our best of 2014. We'd love to hear about yours. As always, you can get in touch IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. Although by the time you will watch and listen to this, we'll be gorged on turkey and booze.
We will have buggered off. I will be busy seeing if I can buy the URL for pork knuckles virgin.com.
That's taken, surely.
Why would it be?
Don't point at me.
Anyway, thank you for all the support that you've given us over the last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, Podcast 250, we didn't mention that, and that was one hell of a highlight.
Well, yeah, that's because if you were there, you can't remember it.
That's true.
And again, the Duck
Hunters.
If you
can remember it, you weren't there.
I think, again, the Duck Hunters. Like, I think, genuinely, this was the year that they kicked ass.
Obviously, the Tilly memes on the Facebook page, which has now kind of dried up since you've joined.
But let's bring them back. Like I brought Branta back.
Exactly. So yeah, thank you so much for your support, and we will see you again in 2015.
Cheerio.
Until then, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.